Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Jesus Plus Nothing. Jesus is all we need, really. The challenge the church has faced from the very beginning is that we're tempted to think we need to do some of the work in our lives that only Jesus can do. That's what religion's all about. Religion is any attempt to earn God's favor or bring about personal transformation through our self-effort. And really, religious people often want to control and judge others. The Apostle Paul addresses the dangers of religion in a letter we call Galatians. In it, he holds nothing back in proclaiming that we're free from religious bondage and free in Jesus. Get ready to embrace and celebrate that Jesus is our only hope, focus, and freedom. The good news is Jesus plus nothing. Hello, everyone. We're beginning a new series, and this is called Jesus Plus Nothing. And we're going to look at this great book in the Bible called Galatians. And, you know, the background of all this is about religion. This is what this book is really addressing. And more people in our country and really around the world are giving up on religion. The percentage in our country of folks that want to have nothing to do with the Christian religion is increasing. Some of them call themselves atheists or agnostics. And to some extent, I sort of understand and I get why they've given up on not just the Christian religion, but any religion. Their experience is that as they have looked at religion, it's been something that's not added to their life. It's been something that's been very dry, and in some ways even robs them of life. That as they look at it, there's really nothing appealing that draws them to want to be a part of this religion. And so, you know, we begin to see this thing actually growing and developing. Now, in case you're starting to get defensive, let me make sure that we understand what we mean by religion. Because this is the definition I'm going to use not only in this message, but all through this series. When we're talking about religion, what we're talking about is any attempt by a person to make themselves acceptable to God. By all these different things that they try to do, that they're going to make God like them, that they're going to be okay with God because they do these things. And a part of that is any attempt that we make through our self-effort to transform ourselves. This kind of, I'm going to work harder to make this happen. And that's what I mean by religion. And I'm not talking about the ancient Christian faith as taught in the scripture. I'm talking about the stuff that's added to the ancient Christian faith, which makes it a religion. And that's what people are rejecting. And that's what people discover doesn't really add to life. You see, the church has always been tempted to do, there's this sense that we need to do really what only Jesus can do. And what I call this actually is not Christianity, it's churchianity. Okay, it's where we feel like we need to add some things to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, to look better, to try to earn God's favor. We do these things, okay? We follow these rules, we go by these regulations, we live by these restrictions as a way somehow this is going to make things okay between God and us. But here's the reality of any religion. When we try to follow religion, it becomes a burden. Let me illustrate it by a religion that we all respect. It's called the Jewish faith, the Jewish religion. The rabbis calculated that as they looked through the Old Testament, there were 613 laws that had to be obeyed. 613 rules, laws, regulations, restrictions. Great definition of religion. Now, when I first thought about that, I thought, 613, that's a piece of cake. And then I actually went online and I started scrolling through the 613. Page after page. I didn't realize how many 613 were. And then, here's the problem with religion. 613 weren't enough. Because you come to numbers, let's say 75, and you go, well, what does that mean? And so what happened was the rabbis over the years would add more laws to the laws. So you not only had the 613, you had this whole other pile of laws which explained how to keep those laws. And so pretty soon it becomes this incredible burden with trying to follow all these laws, rules, regulations, restrictions. And then further, what religion does is it always leads us to a place of guilt. And it's really hard to get out of that place of guilt. Here's why. We look at the rules and the regulations and the restrictions, and we will inevitably fail. And then when we fail, when we violate those rules and regulations, now we are guilty. And so we work harder, which is where the burden part comes in. We work harder to try to do better, but we still mess up, and we always end up in that place of guilt. What we're going to look at in this book called Galatians, and this is the theme, is that we're going to discover we are free from law and religion. We're free from it. That is the message all the way through this letter. We're free. We're really free. And we're not bound. In fact, there's actually reasons not to try to follow all the rules and regulations. Now we're going to, when we get to the end, it doesn't mean we just do whatever we want. But that's not the way that we become acceptable to God, and that's not the way we're going to experience real transformation of our soul. So Paul writes this letter to a church in the area of Galatia. Galatia is in an area called, which we recognize as modern-day Turkey. And Paul knew these churches very, very well that was in this area. And so Paul, who was a Jew, now understand, Paul understood religion really well. He knew those 613 laws. He knew what it was to follow all of these rules and regulations and restrictions. And God called him. God met him in Jesus and said, I have a job for you. I'm sending you to take the message that we are free from law and religion to those who had never really been a part of this, the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are anybody who's not a Jew. So here, God asked Paul, a Jew, to leave what he's always known, religion, to take the message of freedom of faith to the Gentiles. And so what Paul does is he goes all throughout the Roman world of that time saying, look, folks, you don't have to follow the Jewish faith to be acceptable to God. You don't have to follow the Jewish faith to have a relationship with God through Jesus. You don't have to follow all the ceremonial laws. You don't have to go to the temple and make sacrifices. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to only eat kosher food and avoid non-kosher food and all of those things. You're free from that. And that's this consistency of his message. And that's the message he delivered to that church. But a problem arises. There's some folks that come into the church and say, yes, Jesus is it, but Jesus isn't enough. You got to have Jesus plus religion. That's the message they brought. And all of a sudden, by their message, they're beginning to change what Paul declares was the good news. The good news is Jesus plus nothing. And that's the theme of our series and our teaching. Jesus plus nothing. So take your Bibles, turn to Galatians. We're going to start in the first chapter. We're going to see how Paul addresses this problem. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 6. And don't miss, as I read this, the strength, the forcefulness of Paul's words here, how serious he is about this issue, this problem that's come into the church called religion. Verse 6, I am astounded that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. If you were to translate that differently, which is really not good news at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, who were these people that were coming into the church and stirring up trouble and bringing this teaching, which he says really isn't the good news about Jesus at all? Well, I call them religious legalists. Now, in particular, they were Jews who had become Christians. They truly believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they weren't content just with Jesus as Messiah. They wanted to also enforce all the Jewish religious laws and rules also. And so they came into the church and said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you must do this, you must do this. And further, they weren't just happy with putting out the rules. They were also implying that if you don't follow these rules, you're not really a Christian. Jesus plus religion. So what we're going to see in this letter is there's basically two fundamental ways of approaching God. There's two fundamental ways of establishing a relationship with God. And the first one is simply this. It's Jesus plus religion. Jesus plus religion. Now, don't misunderstand me. To that group of people, Jesus is very real. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're not this whacked out heretical group. But what they are saying is Jesus is important but not enough, and so they add the rules and the regulations and the restrictions. And you got to follow those if you're really going to be okay with God. The other fundamental way of approaching our faith is what I call Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. He alone, Christ alone, makes us acceptable to God. It is not what we do or don't do that's going to make us acceptable to God. It is Jesus and His sacrificial work that makes us acceptable to God. And this way is the way of faith. It's the way of faith. Faith simply means I trust in Jesus. I trust in His sacrifice that covers my sins. I trust in His power working in my life to transform me. I trust His way. I'm going to follow Him. And that's a way of freedom. Freedom from all that religious stuff. Now, Paul continues after we finished at verse 9, and he continues in verse 10 all the way through the better part of chapter 2, talking about his experience. And I'm just going to summarize that. We're not going to read that here. I encourage you to read that on your own. But what he does in the next section is he says, look, I didn't invent this Jesus plus nothing way. I grew up in the whole idea that it was all about religion. Paul says, I didn't invent this. God actually came to me and delivered this message to me. And just to make sure that I wasn't going off track, he says, I went to Jerusalem. I presented the message that God had given me, the Jesus plus nothing way. And the church accepted it. The apostles accepted it and affirmed it and encouraged me to take this message to anybody I could. So that's what he just kind of goes through some of the background of that. And then in chapter 2, starting in verse 15, he gets to his main declaration. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the message of freedom. So I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. And look at these two verses, 15 and 16. These two verses are huge. Chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Let me pause there. If you'll notice in the fine print there in the NIV, there's quotation marks around Gentile sinners. See, the Jews who were bringing this religious obligations to the church were saying, we're Jews. But these Gentiles, they're sinners because they're not following our rules. So really what Paul's saying, if I can use some inflection here, he says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Justified. What does that mean? Justified means we are made right with God. And listen to what he says. We know that a man is not made right with God by observing the law, by being religious, but by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. He continues, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified, we may be made right with God by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. By following all the rules, regulations, restrictions, no one is going to be made right with God. It is by faith. It is by trust in Jesus alone. And so he makes this point so clear and so powerful. What he's reminding us is we, no matter how much we do religiously, no matter how many rules we try to follow, we will never be good enough. We'll never be good enough. And doing all those things will never make us really good people. Maybe better than some others, but we'll never be good enough according to God's standards. We'll always fall short. So it is only by trusting in Jesus. Jesus plus nothing. It's all about the relationship. When Paul talks about faith, he's talking about really trusting Jesus. And that's all about relationship. I trust what he's done. I trust what he's doing in my life today. I'm trusting he will lead me to the right place. I absolutely believe in him because he is everything I want and need. I don't need anybody, anything else. He's it. I can trust him. Now, obviously this letter was written almost 2,000 years ago. And we say, well, you know, we're not really trying to follow the Jewish faith here, so I'm not sure how this message is relevant to us today. Well, the fact is, the church for 2,000 years has been creating rules. We've created our own Christian religion, and that's what I talked about at the very beginning. People give up on the Christian religion because they see it as nothing but rules. Now, what I did is I asked a bunch of people to say, what are some of the current Christian rules that we labor under? Okay? The Jesus plus these rules. And I got a whole list of these, and I want to share them with you so that we can kind of make this very real and very practical. And how I'm going to do this is I'm going to read these rules this way. A good Christian will, and then we'll fill in the blank, okay? Now, let me just prepare you. Everything I'm going to read on this list are good things. Just like the Old Testament law, 613 laws, there was nothing in the 613 laws that was bad. It was all good. It's just that we can't be acceptable to God by trying to follow all those rules. Everything I'm going to... I avoided all the wacko rules. You know, the things that are really crazy. Some of you grew up in a time and some of us have experienced in other cultures where their Christians say, you can't watch TV. Okay, I didn't include those ones. You know, that's a little off, okay? But these are all, in the right context, good. But they are still rules. Listen, a good Christian will never go to an R-rated movie. A good Christian will be in church every weekend, including when you're on vacation. But while you're on vacation, be sure to give your tithe back to your home church. That was my rule, you know. A good Christian will give 10% or more of their pre-tax income to the church. I added the pre-tax too. A good Christian will read his or her Bible every day. Now, is that a good thing to do? Absolutely. Do I want to encourage you to read your Bible every day? Absolutely. Will that make you acceptable to God? No. A good Christian will pray every day, before meals, even at snack time, and before bedtime, and at restaurants. A good Christian will not cuss. Darn. A good Christian will share their faith with a non-believer every day. A good Christian will be nice, have it all together, and never get upset. Isn't it interesting? We just read Paul said, these folks are teaching you a false gospel. May they be eternally condemned. I think he got a little upset. A good Christian will wear their best to church. A good Christian will never drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes. It was interesting. I read a very well-known, beloved, great pastor here, in our modern times. And he wrote, he says, you know what? Sometimes I think I could teach heresy in the pulpit and nobody would really get upset. But if I light up a cigarette, I'm going to lose my job. You know, a good Christian will never listen. A good Christian will only listen to Christian music. It can go on and on. And depending on your experience, your background, your list is going to probably feel or look a little different than this list. And of course, there were many, many more that were suggested. But the point is this. These things are good in the right sense, but they, following them, doesn't make us, isn't the pathway, isn't the way that we become acceptable to God. It's not the way that's going to earn us a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The good news is this: Jesus plus nothing. Repeat after me. Jesus plus what? Nothing. That's what Paul is declaring loud and clear. Now, that teaching brings us to this amazing point in chapter 2 in verse 20. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is sort of the conclusion of this part of the conversation that Paul's having. This is a powerful, powerful statement. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You hear what Paul's saying? He begins by talking about crucifixion. We all know that Jesus was crucified for our sins, that his death was a sacrifice for our sins. But Paul, recognizing that, goes another step further. What does he say? "I have been crucified with Christ." This is our response to the good news. God has given this amazing gift. He says, "You're not going to earn your salvation. You're not going to earn acceptance to me. I'm giving this relationship as a gift through Jesus." And our response, Paul says, is to crucify ourselves. What does that mean, to crucify ourselves? Well, for Paul, he grew up in religion. For him, it meant he had to die to trying to earn God's favor by doing all these rules and regulations. He died to that way to accept God on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. That was a total change for him. It was now going from his effort to trusting in Jesus. And so our part in this is simply this: we crucify ourselves. We surrender. We are willing to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. No longer are we in charge. We are now going to cooperate with God and focusing on Jesus. And that's why Paul says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." When we crucify ourselves, we crucify I. I'm no longer in charge. It's not about how good I am or how much effort I'm going to put into it. Yeah, effort is fine, but that is not what is going to make it. I am willing to put myself, in every sense of that, to death. And I'm going to let Jesus now lead me. He's the one who's going to guide me into the very presence of God. He's the one who's going to transform me from the inside out. And we're going to unpack that whole idea even more later. So here's what I want us to do as we're beginning this study of this book. This is the kind of the so what of what we're talking about. I just want to encourage you to seriously, seriously determine that you are going to let Jesus be enough. Jesus is enough. It's not Jesus plus X, Y, and Z. It's simply that Jesus is the center of my focus and attention and faith. And that means that we have to embrace grace. We have to embrace grace. Now, let me just make sure that we understand what grace is. Okay, grace is this powerful, powerful idea that I think sometimes is elusive to us. Here's what grace means. First of all, it's a gift from God. God gives us a relationship, not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because he wants to have a relationship with us. But it goes farther than that. Here's where we are, and here's the perfection of God. There's this huge gap. No matter how hard we work, there's always going to be a gap. And grace says, "I'm going to make up that difference." The standard of God never changes. It's perfection. You and I will never be perfect. as hard as we try. Grace says, I'm going to make up that difference. I'm going to treat you and receive you as if you're perfect because of what Jesus has done. We have to embrace that kind of grace. If you have never made a decision to crucify yourself, if you've never made the decision to say, it's no longer about me and what I'm doing, it's about Jesus. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. His name is Jesus. I want to encourage you to make that decision. Next week, we're going to do open baptisms. So you have some time to think and pray about that decision. If you are ready to say, I'm ready to crucify myself, we're going to have this incredible opportunity to make that decision and that declaration next week in our open baptisms. But as we do this study, may we learn how to be a Christian without being religious. May we learn that it's all about the relationship, not about the religion. May we resist with all that's in us that thing called churchianity, where it's all about rules and regulations, and really believe that just following the rules doesn't make us right with God. In fact, that can actually hinder our relationship with God because the focus is on us. And may we move our focus, may we move our gaze back to Jesus plus nothing else. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is read the book of Galatians. Just 6 chapters long. It's a short read. I'd like you to read the whole book so you get a good sense of where this whole teaching is going. Those of us who have been doing the Bible reading challenge, we actually read that back in May, but it's great to read it again. It'll refresh your memory as we go into this. Do it on top of your regular Bible reading. It won't take you that long. And then here's what I also want you to do. When you came in, you got a card that says Galatians 2:20. Here at the East Tucson campus, it's in your bulletin at Sierra Vista. It was handed to you. And if you need one, grab one before you leave. It says Galatians 2:20. I want you to memorize that verse. Let me just first tell you why I think memorization is so helpful. This is not a law. You are not made acceptable to God by memorizing this. Okay? That's the subtlety there. But this is a great tool that you can engage in to help you. Here's what happens. When we memorize God's word, it's not only a part of our mind, but it becomes a part of our spirit, our soul, our whole inner being. And when it's inside of us, God's spirit can remind us of this. And this is a powerful, powerful concept. You know, Paul writes it from his first person, but think about it for yourself as you're memorizing it. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith, by a relationship of trust. I live in this body by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This will constantly remind us on really what the core essence is of what this thing called the gospel is, what our faith is all about. And so I want to encourage you to memorize that. You know, you can put this in your bathroom mirror, in the kitchen, or at your desk, or by your computer. You can put it as a screensaver on your computer, whatever works for you. I just encourage you to memorize this. It's a powerful, powerful passage. In just a moment, we're going to take communion, and I want to read the last verse of this chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 21. Paul writes, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if being right with God could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, I celebrate grace. My relationship with God is a gift that God gave me, not because I earned it, not because I worked for it. I'm right with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Again, he's stating it again, Jesus plus nothing. We can't earn God's favor. But if we could earn God's favor by doing this, by doing that, by not doing this, by not doing this, then Jesus didn't need to die. We don't need a Savior if we can do it. That's what Paul's reminding us. We need a Savior. And that's what we remember and celebrate in communion. In just a moment, the communion servers will pass the tray. And if you're new, and if you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to participate. You take the cup and the bread and you pass the tray. Now, as you hold the cup and the bread, what we're remembering is the sacrifice of Jesus. We're remembering that Jesus is our Savior, that He paid the price for our sins, that He's the one that makes us adequate for God, that we are righteous, we are right with God because of what Jesus did. And we celebrate, we embrace the grace that God has given us. After that, we're going to take our offering. And it's also a time of expression to God. You see, we have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. We voluntarily surrendered to the Lord Jesus. We said, in communion, we remember that He's our Savior. And in offering, we remember that He's the Lord. He's the one we live for. He's the one who we serve. He's the one we follow. All of our lives belong to Him. And in our giving, we simply express again that we belong to Him. And all that we have, all that we are, all that we own belongs to Him. And we want to further His purposes. If you're visiting with us, please don't feel any obligation to give from a religious point of view, an obligation. The giving comes out of a heart that says, I want to put Jesus first. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed with the gift that You've given us. We could never be right by our own effort with You. We could never be good enough. We could never be the people that are acceptable to You. But You have made us acceptable through Jesus. And God, in these moments, we are so thankful for that gift. And God, may we embrace it. May we live in it. May we trust it with our whole being. And God, may that lead us to a place where we have an open, clear relationship with You. Through Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.